We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
As the 100th anniversary of BGSU football approaches, we turn back the clock to the 1950s on this episode of the Ziggy Cast.
This is the BGSU Ziggy Cast from Learfield, your home for Falcons updates, interviews, previews, and highlights. Now, here is your host, Todd Walker.
Great to be back with you here in the middle of summer. My name is Todd Walker, and we are going to turn back the clock on the Ziggy Cast here over the next few weeks. If you've been paying attention to BGSUFalcons.com, you've seen the Turn Back the Clock features. Building toward our celebration of 100 years of BGSU football, the 100th anniversary celebration coming up in October. And now that we've reached the 1950s, we can contribute here on the Ziggy Cast with some audio. Those of you that listen to us on the radio doing play-by-play for the Falcons may have heard our Falcon flashback features over the years with our pregame show. And in specific, 10 years ago, we focused on what was then the 50th anniversary of the College Division National Champions of 1959. And we talked with many of the participants on that team, players and or coaches. And that is going to be the basis of today's Ziggy Cast. As I reach back into my archive and bring back some of those interviews from the guys involved in the 1959 BGSU Falcons, the College Division National Champions. We will start with a player on that team and later a BGSU assistant coach and a head coach of much renown himself and the father of two famous current coaches. Of course, I'm talking about Jack Harbaugh. I interviewed him in September of 2009 during that 50th anniversary season. And Jack Harbaugh, like many of his BG compatriots, his BG experience led to a long-time marriage to his Falcon flame.
Well, the very best thing that happened to me at Bowling Green State University was the fact that in my freshman year in 1957, in one of my first classes, I think it was an English class, I saw this cute little girl sitting across the room, and it turned out to be Jackie Sapiti. And we married at the end of our senior year, and we've been together now for 48 years, and and all the good things that's happened in my life has been attributed to that English class in 1957. But we came there from Crestline, Ohio, a little town about an hour and a half south of Bowling Green. No one in our family had ever gone to college, really. It was the opportunity for a scholarship, and the opportunity came about. And those 4 years were just outstanding. An opportunity to grow, an opportunity to meet some tremendous individuals, the players that were on our team, the friends that we made at Bowling Green, the coaching staff at Bowling Green, the faculty at Bowling Green.
During that 2009 interview with Jack Harbaugh, I asked him if he thought he wanted to coach when he was playing at Bowling Green.
To be a coach, I think when I was about 12 years old, we at Crestline, Ohio, we had an individual, his name was Coach Hudson. He was the football coach, he was the basketball coach, he was the physical education teacher, he was a driver's ed teacher. Just looked at him and admired him so much and made up my mind at a very young age that's what I wanted to do. And then at Bowling Green, went there, majored in health and physical education. Again, a tremendous staff there. And then, of course, that one figure, that one guy, Dwight Perry, he was our head football coach, as you know, in the 4 years that I was with him. And every job I think I ever got after that was a result of Dwight Perry, someone that he knew and a recommendation that he made and the advice that he gave, you know, about coaching. He was a tremendous mentor for us and someone that I'll always remember and someone that will always be, you know, part of me and my family. And we had a great staff then, too. My coach, backfield coach, was Bob Dudley. Jim Rule, who still lives in Bowling Green, was the freshman coach at that time. Dick Young coached the secondary during those time. Bob Gibson was our offensive line coach. It was just a fantastic coaching staff. And Bill Mallory, hopeful will be at the reunion, was our defensive coordinator. And as I say, as I look back on it, those years and the friendships that we made, the times that we were together, the wins were certainly important, but the friendships and that developed during that time are the things that we remember most.
We continue to hear from Jack Harbaugh, the 1959 College Division National Champions. Harbaugh, a member of that team, and I asked him if he recalled heading into the season with high expectations.
In those days, it wasn't quite like it is today. You know, you played the games. There wasn't all this great preseason expectations. There weren't all the polls out and where everybody was going to be. You just kind of played the games, and you had a schedule. I think we played 9 games, and there was a schedule that was given to you. You didn't look much at the polls. I don't remember looking much at the polls. I do remember the next to the last ball game we were playing the University of Delaware. Davy Nelson, who's one of the great legends in the game of football, was coaching. A guy named Tubby Raymonds was his assistant. Both of those guys have since gone into the Football Coaches Hall of Fame, and I do recall that we were number 2 and they were number 1, and that's the first time that I can look back and think that there was a chance to be a national champion. Delaware was coming to Bowling Green, and they were number 1 and we were number 2, and it's stood to reason that if we beat them, then we were going to be number 1 and they were going to be number 2, and that's what happened.
BGSU beat Delaware 30-8 in the next to last game of the season, and then had a road game in conference at Ohio to finish up the perfect 1959 national championship season. And Jack Harbaugh reflected on those last 2 games.
It was a cloudy, overcast day in Bowling Green back on the old football field there. And we played that day, and everything went our way. Every ball bounced our way. Every play that needed to be made was made. And we came out and won that football game, and now we were number 1 and headed to Ohio University, knowing that if we could win that ball game, certainly we'd be the Mid-American champions, and that we would retain that number 1 spot, and we had a chance to be the best team in the country in our division. And we went down there and struggled. I mean, it was one tough football game, back and forth, and finally linebacker Jerry Colliner intercepted a pass, and it's fun. You know, it's 50 years ago, but I can remember him intercepting the ball and running down the sideline and into the end zone, and that was it. It was late in the ball game, and Bowling Green wins. Bowling Green wins, and then again it was, well, we were undefeated, and we got a chance to be the national champion, but it didn't really sink in until we drove back on a bus at the Bowling Green, and we circled around, and guys were sleeping and not thinking much about it. It wasn't much talk going on. It was just, we won the ball game, and here we go. And we turned into the circle there at the Bowling Green campus, right across the street from the Union. I'm sure it's still there. And we drove into that little circle there, and all at once you could see lights, and I swear it was packed with people, wall-to-wall people screaming, students jumping up and down, people from the town came out. It was unbelievable. The bus could just barely find its way to get into that area where they were going to drop us off, and the door opened, and they didn't have all that security and all that stuff. The football team just kind of stepped out into the student body, stepped out into these fans, and guys were looking around and said, "Wow, never dreaming that something like that could happen in Bowling Green." Finally, it sunk in as we had done something very special here that made people very proud of Bowling Green State University and this football program. And I think that's when it all sunk in is, golly, there's really something like this can happen to us and happen for Bowling Green State University.
We hear more now from Jack Harbaugh talking about Coach Dwight Perry.
Well, he was most unique. He was still a stories. Anytime two football players from Bowling Green get together that had played for him, there's a story to be told, and it's a unique story. And it's a story about a guy that tremendously cared about each and every one of his players, someone that was involved not just with you as a football player, he was involved with you as a student, he was involved with you as a person, and the stories, I mean, just go on and on. And then I had a chance to come back in 1968 and coach for Don Nealon for 3 years at Bowling Green, and Dwight was the athletics director. And then I got to know him not just as a football player, but I got to know him as a staff member. I got to know him as a friend. You know, you'd go out and play some golf with him, and you got a chance to sit down, and he'd prop his feet up, and he would tell stories. And he was a great philosopher, a great football coach. I mean, he taught the fundamentals of the game. He taught blocking, and he taught tackling. He taught the essence of what the game was all about. The lessons that I carried with me for the 43 years that I coached, I would say something to a player, and then I'd put a little smile on my face and say, "Now, where did I hear that? And whom did I hear that from?" And I realized it was Dwight Perry. And to my last year of coaching, I still the fundamentals and of the game I've carried with me. But he and his wife Loretta made their football players, you know, part of their family. And talking to some of our teammates, I'd say 80% of them went into coaching from Bowling Green. A lot of them did different things after their coaching careers, but getting into the coaching was, Dwight was largely responsible for training us. He was responsible for our values, and he was responsible for us being coaches, and we're tremendously ingratiated for that. But I look at my two kids. I mean, the things I hear them coach sometimes, and they'll say something I'm sure they might have heard me say somewhere along in my career, but it came from Dwight Perry, so Dwight Perry lives today in their coaching careers.
Jack Harbaugh continued with his thoughts about Dwight Perry, and he said that there is no way to overstate Dwight's legacy.
Oh, no question. I mean, there's some things that we did were the first time they ever done in football. For instance, we ran a play, it was a 34 play, a play we'd fake to the fullback and then the back, and it was one of the first times that play had been run. I mean, it was he put that philosophy in, and still that design of that play is still being run today, and he was one of the first ones to ever do it. The first coach he ever hired at Bowling Green State University was a guy named Shembeckler. Bo Schembechler, who went on at the University of Michigan, as we all know, to be one of the great, great coaches of all time. And I had a chance to work with him for 7 years, but that was Deutsch's first hire at Bowling Green. And the staff that he put together and those individuals, not only coaching at Bowling Green, and then they're off doing other things. And there's no question about it. We had a get-together a few years ago at Bowling Green and had a chance after Deutsch had passed to sort of honor him. And the guys that came back, I mean, the room was totally filled with guys. I don't know, I mentioned names. Ron Blackledge, for instance, coached Jim with the Indianapolis Colts. He was an offensive line coach. He coached with the Pittsburgh Steelers with Chuck Knoll in their great run Super Bowls. Well, Ron Blackledge was a tight end on this team, a senior tight end on this team that's being honored on the 50th anniversary. And if you sit down with Ron, I mean, the first thing he wants to do is sing Hi Zicky Zumba, and the second thing he wants to do is talk about, you know, Deutsch Perry and the influence that he had on his coaching staff. But you can go through, there's so many names like that and so many people that were around Deutsch and then to watch their careers. And he definitely has a footprint, and he definitely has had an impact on all of us and continues to have an impact on all of us, because what he emphasized was being accountable. He emphasized being a solid citizen, being a good student, you know, being a good husband, being a good father, doing the things that you had to do, be accountable. And football is certainly a big part of all of us, but those other lessons that he taught are even greater than the football lesson.
Jack Harbaugh actually was back on campus last football season and joined me in the press box late in the season at halftime to visit, and he had more thoughts on Deutsch Perry at that time.
Deutsch Perry was the master psychologist, and he didn't realize it. He would just say things and do things. One of his great lines would be, "Jack, I want you to know you may be the best defensive back to ever play here at Bowling Green, or you may be the absolute worst." And you'd look at him and you knew you were somewhere either the best or the worst. And you know what he was telling you? What do you want to be? Do you want to be the worst? Do you want to be the best? And you walked away challenged to be the better. Now, not many coaches in that day, not many coaches in this day had that ability to motivate the players. The other one he would do is, you'd be playing a ball game, it'd be halftime, it would be a close game, you might be down a point or two, and Deutsch would come up with this, and, "Guys, it's not your fault. It's really not your fault. I made a mistake scheduling this team. I knew they were better than we were. I knew that you weren't athlete enough to play against these guys, so it's my fault. Go out, don't embarrass yourself, don't do anything." They would come out of the locker room, they'd knock doors down coming out of the locker room to prove him wrong and that we could play and we could win. Last 2 years here in 59 and 60, we only lost one football game, one MAC championship, and lost to OU the second year and lost the championship. But there are not many stand in the footprints that Deutsch Perry had.
Also, during his visit to the press box at halftime of a game last year, Jack Harbaugh talked about the 2009 reunion, the 50th reunion of that 59 national championship team.
They were a very special team, and we've lost so many of them now. You know, I'm 79 years old, and each year one passes on. But the opportunity that Bowling Green gave us, I think 2009, I think it was the 50th year of that national championship team, for us all to get together, and we had a fantastic weekend, presented us with rings. Back in the day, when we won the championship, rings weren't something that was passed out, so Bowling Green graciously gave us a ring that we wear, and we share that moment together.
And one of the guys Jack Harbaugh shares that memory with is a teammate from that 1959 team, Jerry Colliner. Of course, he was the hero in the Ohio win with his pick six. I interviewed Jerry back in 2009 as part of that 50th anniversary of the 59 team, and he reflected on the final game of the season and his role of hero.
Actually, we had beat Delaware, who was number one in the nation for a small college, and Ohio U was, you know, was for the MAC and the national title, and we played them down to the wire, and Bernie Casey scored a touchdown, and then they scored a touchdown, and then they scored I think they scored a field goal, and then we were, you know, they were, they had the ball, and it was at the tail end of the game, and they, for some reason, they stupidly threw a pass, and I was playing linebacker. Back then, you played guard on offense and linebacker on defense, and I got back and picked it off and ran for a touchdown and won the game for us, and that was probably a highlight of my career.
More reflections from Jerry Colliner, who I interviewed in 2009 about the 1959 national championship season, and Jerry said that the win over Miami in 59 was as important as any that season because it was the first for Coach Dwight Perry in his fifth try, finally beat Miami, and it came 1 year after BG blew it the year before in Oxford.
And the sad thing about that, I was a sophomore, that we were out ahead 14-0 at halftime, and I remember Dwight came in and said, this is going to be the best victory we've ever had, and you know, because he had never beat them. And then they came out and scored 28 unanswered points. And, man, that was pretty hard to swallow.
Well, the next year in 1959, you took care of business up 21-0 at halftime. Was he as quite as confident at halftime during that game?
Never said a word. And the thing on that game was Bill Mowry was a defensive coordinator, and boy, he had us so geeked up for those guys, and he also had us geeked up on offense because, you know, like back then you exchanged films, and so you could really, you know, look at the films and plan some strategies, and Bill was, had our offense, Bob Gibson had our offense all set up, and we had to think through the whole game. We had live colors and dead colors, and you know, and we'd always go on the second or third count just to throw them off, you know, to, so we could see which way they were slanting. So it was pretty cool. I haven't thought about that for a long time, but that brings back that memory.
You heard Jerry Colliner there talking about Coach Bill Mallory on that 59 team. He was an assistant, and I also caught up with him for our 50th anniversary celebration back in 2009. Talk to me about the influence that Dwight Perry had on you as a football coach, as you were an assistant under him, and then even later on.
Well, he was a great mentor to me. I can't, you know, begin to express how fortunate I was to have the opportunity to come there and to work for Dwight. I mean, Dwight stood for what was right. He was a people person. He really cared about his players. He cared about his coaches. That was first and foremost. And Dwight was a person who I thought was so unique in his coaching approach. He was a very good motivator, and yet very seldom did Dwight ever raise his voice. He just had a way of presenting it to you that could get, as I would say often, get your lights on. He just could reach you, motivate you. Even though he's a very intense person, he was not one of these. I was a little bit more on the, say, fiery side. Dwight wasn't. He was very sound with his football. If he was not happy with something, whether it was with the players or the coaches, he was going to tell you. And I just thought that the bottom line with Dwight was we were going to be sound. We weren't going to beat ourselves. His practices were designed that way. We did a lot of reps in our practice. Once we got our football down, we'd go over as coaches with a fine-tooth comb of we presented it such that it was going to be well-taught and sound and understood by the players. And when they went out on game day, they knew what they were doing.
As we continue to turn back the clock to the 1950s of BGSU football, we'll hear now from Jim Young. I also spoke with him back in 2009 in the 50th anniversary season of that perfect 1959 team, the National College Division Champions. Of course, Jim played at BG for Dwight Perry and then was an assistant coach on that 59 team as well. And he had a unique story about how he ended up at Bowling Green.
Actually, when I went to Ohio State first, and Dwight recruited me. He was the coach that recruited me to Ohio State. And then when he was became the head coach of Bowling Green, when I transferred to Bowling Green, the first year there, you know, I was ineligible, so they made me a coach. And that's really how I got my start coaching. And then the next year I came back and played, and and then stayed on as a graduate assistant, and then came back to Bowling Green on a one-year deal, replacing the wrestling coach and assistant football coach in that 59 season.
Well, talk about Doit as a coach and a mentor, both from your playing perspective and then as a coaching perspective with him, and then later other places. What did you learn from Doit that you took through the years?
Well, Doit was a great motivator of players. I think he had a great ability to fire you up and keep you from getting the big head all at the same time. That's sort of hard to explain, but that's the way he was. He had the ability to really get to you, but he also never let you get thinking you were too good. And certainly his record of, 11 losses in 10 years, he had a great ability to coach football, and he had a great number of assistant coaches that worked with him there at Bowling Green that went on to be successful at other places. So he was truly, he has, as you know, I think, he has the greatest winning percentage of any major college coach in the Hall of Fame, and I think that's an attribute to what he was like as a coach.
Yeah, 77, 11, and 5 ties in his 10 years at BG.
Right.
Now, what about innovative strategy? Was he not as much about that as he was about motivating and fundamentals, or did he do some innovative things that maybe still survive today?
Well, you know, I don't know how many would survive today. Maybe somebody else might be able to say that. I think certainly the offensive system that we played there at the time was advanced. The numbering system and the rule blocking and a lot of those things were sort of advanced for that period of time. Now, and I think Doit had a lot to do with that. So, yeah, for his time, he was certainly advanced.
We have more with our Turn Back the Clock edition of the BGSU Ziggy Cast here, talking 1950s Bowling Green football, and specifically the 1959 national champion, college division champion Bowling Green Falcons. One of the best players on that team, of course, was Bernie Casey. He went on to a very successful NFL career as well, but later was, of course, a well-known actor, was also an artist, a man of many, many talents. And I got to sit down with Bernie Casey actually in 2003 when he was traveling with his art show and stopped by Ohio Northern University in Ada. That's my alma mater. And I got to visit with Bernie that day. And he is quite a unique individual, as most of you know. He's such a great athlete, but he wasn't about being an athlete. And he was quite frank about that when I spoke with him back in 2003.
You know, you talk about the things that you've done outside of football with your acting and your artwork, and I guess you'd be the ideal example of a guy who played football, but that wasn't your whole life. It helped you get to where you were going otherwise, but you just happened to be a great athlete. Is that kind of how you would describe yourself?
That is exactly. I was never a football enthusiast. I was blessed by the grace of God to be a good athlete and play it well, and I was a mercenary. I'm clear about that. I could not have gone to college without playing football and getting a scholarship. I could not have gone to graduate school and traveled the world and all the things I did without the money I garnered playing professionally and exposure. So it was just one part of my life that was functional and usable for that part of my life. So I had other goals and other pursuits, and I was able to bring them to fruition and have a very varied and interesting life way beyond football.
Bernie Casey, quite a fascinating individual and part of BGSU football history. We continue to turn back the clock to the 1950s, specifically the 1959 national champions in the college division. And the last member of that team that we'll visit with is Ron Blackledge. I caught up with him back in 2009 as part of our 50th anniversary celebration. Take me back to the preseason of 59. Did you guys have the feeling it was going to be a special year?
No, Todd. I'll tell you, it was a very unique team that we had. It was a team that we knew we were pretty good. Nobody was a star. Nobody was ever bragging about how good they were. But And I think that all came from the leadership of our great coaching staff, the best I've ever been around. But it was just such great leadership that we'll take 1 week at a time. I know it's an old cliche, but that's about what we did. We said, well, let's go out and practice hard and see what happens.
And, Ron, I know you went on to a long and distinguished coaching career yourself. Once you got into coaching, did you find yourself referring back to those coaches you played for at BGSU?
Every day. Every day I coached, and I coached about 40 years. Every day I coached, I used something that one of the coaches at Bowling Green had told me or indicated to me, and it was just such a great, great background for me to have and fall back on that they showed me how to do it, that's for sure.
And when you talk about the head coach, of course, Dwight Perry running the show, things were so much different back then, but just give me a sense of what it was like to play for Dwight Perry.
Well, Dwight was like, you know, not just a head coach. He was a real true friend that really cared about you. And I told people about Dwight, and I tried to emulate him some, that he could pat you on the back and kick you in the butt at the same time, make you feel good about it. You know, he could say, boy, you're a lousy player at this, but, man, you do this so good, you know. And just so you're feeling good about what he tells you. And suddenly you say, hey, wait a minute, he told me I wasn't doing something pretty good, you know. So he was just such a great person and involved in all the players' lives and wanted to know, you know, how the families were and so on.
Tell me about that season. Obviously, some games are more important than others, but maybe a couple of memories you have that really stick out from that 59 season.
Well, like I said, you know, that team was very unique, and they played one game at a time, and before you knew it, we were going down to Ohio University and, you know, a chance to win and go undefeated, and my old high school teammate Jerry Collender intercepted a pass and scored a winning touchdown, and suddenly as we're getting back on the bus, we look around to each other and we say, you know what? We just won the Mid-American Conference, and we were just undefeated. I mean, it was kind of like that. It wasn't a jump up and down and say, hey, we've done it, and we, you know, anything like that. It was just a remarkable group of guys.
And really, I don't want to say it went unrecognized, but that's a theme I've heard from some of the guys as we've talked with them this year about the 59 College Division National Champions. There wasn't necessarily a big hullabaloo then, and maybe now you're getting more recognition than you did then.
Yeah, well, you know, really, we just had the fun of playing. You know, we had a football banquet the day or two after the season, and we said, nice job, well done, and 3 or 4 days after that, we were looking forward to watching our basketball team play and wasn't even thinking about what a successful season we had. So if it's unknown now, it was kind of unknown at that time. I don't know. It was just a very unique season.
Ron, for those who may not know, you went on to coach a long time, as you mentioned, high school, collegiately, and in the NFL. As you look back on all your coaching experiences, you pretty much ran the gamut, didn't you?
Well, I did, and I had a great time. And, you know, I just had a great time. And, again, I lived under those same ideas that the Bowling Green coaches gave me. And, you know, when Dwight Perry said the first thing you do with the staff, you pick guys that are workers and guys that are good people and guys that you like. And I've been very, very fortunate. I've been blessed. I was around great coaches and great people my whole life. So I really had a great time. Thanks to Bowling Green.
Hope you enjoyed turning back the clock to the 1950s for BGSU football. A very momentous decade indeed, as it saw the arrival of Dwight Perry in 1955 and the elevation of the football program to a conference and national power in the college division, winning the Mid-American Conference Championship in 1956 and 59, and of course that undefeated 59 team crowned college division national champions. Next week, we'll turn back the clock to the 1960s. See what we roll out for you here on the Ziggy Cast in conjunction with that next week. Until then, this is Todd Walker saying, I Ziggy Zumba.
Thanks for listening to the BGSU Ziggy Cast. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review however you listen. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation.